welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, June the 21st. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. Yeah, June the 21st. So we are on the summer solstice. Now, when I was growing up, June the 21st always marked the first day of summer. Now, I was looking in my calendar today, and officially it said June 20th. Was the first day of summer this year. I don't get it. I don't know how it changes. Is it like new math versus old math? How do they change all that stuff? I don't get it. All I know is I still celebrate this as the summer solstice, as the first day of summer. And I grieve because now the days are going to start getting shorter. And I just love the light. And you in the southern hemisphere who celebrate the winter solstice, hey, you get to, that light starts creeping back in and you are moving in the direction of the light. Awesome. Awesome. Wherever you are, northern hemisphere, southern, welcome. Thank you for being with me. We're going to read the readings for this coming weekend, 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're going to pick up exactly where we left off, gospel-wise, in the Gospel of Mark, right after last week's parables. And I'll remind us what those were. For those who want to follow along, short readings today. We're going to read out of the book of Job for our first reading, Job chapter 38, verse 1, and then skip to 8 through 11. So four-ish verses total. Verse 1, then 8 through 11. Gospel is, again, picking up exactly where we left off last week, so it's Mark chapter 4. And we're going to do verses 35 to 41 for those who like to follow along. For those who just like to listen, hey, awesome. Either way, God is present. But what I invite us all to do, however that is, however it works for you, invite you to prepare yourself, open yourself, that soil may be fertile, as it were, that your heart may be open to that presence, that Spirit of God, as God seeks to find a home within you and within me. So let's break open God's word, okay? A reading from the book of Job. The Lord addressed Job out of the storm and said, "Who shut within doors the sea when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling bands? When I set limits for it and fastened the bar of its door and said, 'Thus far shall you come, but no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stilled.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Short, but powerful. Again, if there's an idea, a word, an image, something that struck you, wherever it is, whatever it is, I invite you to sit with that, allow God to breathe that word into you and make it alive within you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so much here. So let's dive right in, okay? Job, let's give some background, because honestly, this is a fantastic part of Job. If you've ever read Job, if you've ever been had an inclination to do it, effectively, Job is a parable. It's a wisdom literature. It's asking the question, why do human beings suffer? Age-old question, right? 42 chapters of a book to help answer that question. And the thing is, it never answers the question. But it takes all of our kind of pat answers, all of our canned ideas, all of our conventional wisdom, and it throws it against the wall, and none of it works. None of it works. I mean, listen, if you've ever read Job, the beginning is wonderful, the end is wonderful. There are parts in the middle that are good, but boy, it gets repetitive and repetitive and repetitive. But it still is taking on the question of suffering. And effectively, Job is a sinless person. All this stuff happens to him. And his wife, his friends all tell him, hey, listen, you must have done something wrong. Well, I didn't. You must have done something wrong. Well, I didn't. You must have done something wrong. I didn't. There, I just described about three quarters of the book. Well, then eventually Job starts getting angry at God and saying, listen, I'm mad at you. I didn't deserve any of this stuff. Why is this going on? And Job gives God the dickens, as it were. And in chapter 38, verses 1, it's God's turn to speak. 37 chapters, it's been all the friends of Job, the spouse of Job, and Job himself. For the last, effectively, 5 chapters, it's God who speaks. And God is like, okay, Job, you had questions? I got questions for you. And effectively, he puts Job in his place and says, who do you think you are? Are you ready to take over for me? Is that what you're saying? Were you there? And that's where this reading starts. Were you there when I shut the doors of the sea as they burst forth from the womb? When I set the limits and fastened the door, the bar of its door, and I said, thus far you will come and no farther. Here your proud waves will be stilled. Were you there when I did that? Are you ready to do that? Were you the one who gave the hawk his keen eyesight? Do you make the eagle proud? Did you make the Leviathan, the beast of the deep? Were you there when you made it? And can you take it home as a pet? Can you do that? Do you know the way to the light and the darkness, the path that's there? Were you there? And can you separate the four winds? And so God literally goes on for 4 chapters and challenges Job. And effectively, in the last chapter, Job tries to say something once, and God just keeps going. But effectively, in the last chapter, Job says, "I, you're right. I'm wrong. I put my hand over my mouth. I've got nothing to say. I'd heard about you. It was all hearsay, but now I've seen you. And I know that all my sayings are foolish. And I repent of them. And I sit back down in ashes and dust, knowing that you're God, and that's enough. That's enough. It's a marvelous story. It's a marvelous story. Because really, I don't know who wrote it. It's true wisdom literature. Because we will never, never get the answer to why there is suffering in the world. But what, even though they're framing the book as asking that question, because they do, effectively they're saying, on this side of the kingdom, we will never get that answer. But here's what God is saying is, he's there with us in its midst. And we do not have to understand it to know that God is present and that it can be trusted. Not that God causes it. Very important distinction. Not that God causes it, but that God is present within it. And God can redeem and make new and use whatever happens and make good come of it. Now, all this, I mean, you can easily see this. This really, I just gave you a background of Job because it's such a marvelous story. But when he's talking about the sea, and it's, you know, here your proud waves shall come and no further, and I'm going to put the boundaries around it. We can see easily how that goes with the gospel, right? Now, remember, this is the gospel. It immediately follows what we talked about last week, which were those agrarian parables. You know, the kingdom of God is like a seed that is planted, and it grows, and the farmer doesn't know how. You know, he goes to sleep at night, and it grows, and he wakes up the next day, and it grows, and he's off, you know, playing with the cows, and it grows, because God does what God does. It's God's action. And talks about the mustard seed as it's invasive and it's going to take over everything. And it, I mean, our very lives will be taken over by that. And everything we do, how we see, how we act, how we live, how we move and have our being, how we, all that, you know, it's going to take over all of it. And had we gone back a little further, it's the parable of the sower of the seed, right? Where the seed is being sown along everywhere, and some is on rocky path, and some is in thorns, and some is, you know, in shallow soil. It's all those things. But ultimately, he's using agrarian terms for an agrarian people. We talked about that last week. But he's talking about seeds. And everybody knows for a seed, Jesus will say it clearly in John, you know, unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a seed. But if it dies, look at that mustard seed. Whoo, can take over a whole place, you know. And why do I say that, Joe? Because that first line, I love it. Okay, so he's talked about these agrarian parables forever, for a day anyway. And as evening drew on in that day, Jesus says, let us cross to the other side. What a great line. Almost equaled by the next line, by the way. So basically, Jesus is inviting his disciples, don't stay where we are. Let's cross over, okay? What does that mean? I don't know. I'm throwing stuff against a wall. If you got meaning in it more than what I'm saying, praise God. I guess what I'm saying is, let's not stay where we are. I'm inviting you further. I'm inviting you deeper. I'm inviting you onward. Let's go over to the other side. Maybe we've been afraid to let that seed get in the ground and find root within us, because it's going to invite some of us, parts of us, to die. And maybe that's what Jesus is inviting. Let's cross over. Let's see what that looks like. The next line, though, it says, leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was. Just as he was. How is Jesus in your life right now? Do you think you need to set him up more? Oh, I got to study more before I can take Jesus with me. Or I got to change this part of me before I can invite Jesus. No. Jesus is saying, take me with me. Take me with you, just as you are and just as I am. You don't need to put, you know, crowns on me, and you don't need to put, you know, me on a throne, and you don't need to put, I will come with you just as I am. Just as that image is, just as you understand Jesus today. You don't need to be a theologian to take Jesus with you. Take him just as he is in your life. Okay? He'll take us places, which is the rest of the story, right? Because then the storm comes up, and they think they're dying, and they're like, Jesus, are you okay with the fact that we're going down? This is it? And he wakes up and rebukes, of course, the storm. Quiet, peace, be still. And it was. And he looks at him and says, do you still not get it? It's okay, brothers and sisters. There will be moments Jesus will look at us and say, do you still not get it? But that doesn't stop him from saying, take me with you just as I am. It's okay. Brothers and sisters, I mean, it is so beautiful, because there are storms in every one of our lives. And I'm not saying the storms are beautiful. I don't know their cause. I don't know their understanding. I don't know the outcome. I don't know why there are storms in our life. And I suspect, like Job, we rail sometimes against God and say, why is this going on? I don't deserve this. I'm an innocent bystander. And the truth is, maybe we are. But none of that makes the storm go away. Jesus is simply looking at us and saying, stop it. I'm with you here now. I set the bars of the door on this storm. I set it to end here and go no further. Can that be enough for us? Can we trust that whatever storm is going on in our life right now, again, I'm not saying God caused it. I don't think God does. That's my understanding of God does not lead me down that road to say God is using whatever is going on in our life. Or God can use it, yes, but God is not causing it. We live in a fallen world where pain and suffering are real. But that God can still put boundaries on that and say, here you go and no further. And I can use this storm to teach you, disciples, further relationship and trust in me. I can use this Job to help you realize you're not God, and I am, and that's okay. And all you got to do is be quiet and let me be God. And God can use the storms in our lives somehow to cement that faith deeper as well. Storms are a reality. God invites us to cross to another side. And that crossing may be difficult. Anytime we have to let go of some of who we are, or some aspect of who we are, or some relationship that is not assisting us at this point, and we are going to the other side, all we need to do is make sure we take Jesus with us, just as he is, not as anybody else tells us, or how he should be in our life. Take him just as he is, and understand that just because we take Jesus doesn't mean we're out of the storm. It means we're taking Jesus in the midst of the storm. And Jesus can make whatever that storm is in our life, can make good come of it. We may not understand that. We may not see it on this side of the kingdom. But on the other side, I suspect we can and we will. And God looks at us and says, can that trust be enough? Or do I have to have that same 4-chapter conversation with you that I did with Job? It's okay. He'll have it with you. If you want to give it to him, that's okay. But just know, you're going to end up at the same place. Are we ready to say, Lord, come in the boat, just as you are, just as I am. I'm going to get a little surly, but just keep reminding me. You've got it. You're the one driving. And as long as I know that, I'm going to put my hand over my mouth. And I'd heard about you before, but now I know you. And that's good enough for me. That's good enough. Let's pray. And so we continue with the joyful mysteries, right? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The third joyful mystery, the incarnation. Jesus is born. God and humanity become one. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. Enjoy this day filled with light. And remember, our God walks with you wherever you are. Be well, my friends.